to the Jeff Blumenkrantz Songbook Podcast, episode 16. They all laugh. I'm here with the spectacular Kelly O'Hara. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Jeff.
Oh, nice and close, like I like it. Kelly's talking right into the mic like a good girl.
Pretty soon we're going to be making out.
I know.
It's
that's
nice.
That's why I invited you here.
With your legs spread and everything.
Stop. Kelly, thank you so much for coming. You are like a total gem. Like, I thought, I'm going to ask Kelly. I was really scared. Like, I really wanted you to sing this song so badly.
Oh, my gosh. I'm completely, you're filling, I mean, you're making my head very big.
Ah!
But I needed to join the ranks of all the wonderful people you've had here.
Oh,
I'm so glad you asked me.
Thanks. Well, I think I've known you, like, ever since you started doing those all your fabulous jobs. You've really, like, I don't know when you came to New York, but it seems like you just kind of were born on Broadway.
No, that's not true. I spent a lot of time. I had a big life in Oklahoma, you know.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, 22 years.
And then you came to New York and you went right into what, Jekyll and Hyde, right?
Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah, like
yes.
The day you got here?
Well, it was in 4 months.
That's insane. And then it just was Broadway show, but you're like really amazing. You've given such fantastic performances. I'm just going to list them for the people out there who may not be as obsessed with you
as I am.
I'm going
to be impressed if you have this by memory.
I think I got it.
Okay.
Okay, there was Jekyll and Hyde.
Mm-hmm.
There was Follies.
That's right.
There was, I'm scared. Was it, Sweet Smell of Success.
Which is scary to talk about, so yes, you
no,
should know.
No, it wasn't scary. You were amazing
No,
in that.
I didn't. I enjoyed myself. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Albertine?
That's right. But you know what came before Albertine? The big, right after Sweet Smell closed,
yeah.
I did the workshop in Sundance of Light in the Piazza.
Oh, well, we're getting to that.
Oh, sorry, but that...
I'm just talking New York, because I don't know what you did in the regions.
Okay, right. There were some things.
Yes, okay. So, now you've thrown me off.
No. My Life with Albertine. Let's go back.
My Life with Albertine.
That's right.
Playwrights Horizons, Ricky Ian Gordon. Ooh. We have to talk about all your incredible composers, too.
Yeah.
Dracula.
Woohoo!
What was that?
All right, moving on.
What was that little sound? Nem Piazza.
Yes.
And now, The Pajama Game.
That's right.
What an amazing trajectory. Yeah.
Yeah, kind of all over the map, really.
Yeah, but that's a real testament to your incredibly versatile voice. Or what?
My extreme need to pay the bills.
Well, that's, you know, you can joke about that, but really, it's, right. You know, you're not getting these jobs. No, wait.
Well, thank you.
You've confused me.
Sorry. Don't be confused.
I can't think about money when I'm talking about your incredible talent.
Well, thank you. That's right. And shame on me.
She's hitting herself, people. Yeah. But I just want to say that everybody talks about this whole, she was in Piazza, and now she's doing Pajama Game. Like, oh my God, what an incredible shift. And I was curious if it was such a big shift for you.
Yes, and it was exactly the reason I did it,
yeah.
That I wanted to do it when I heard it was coming out, because I thought, I can play this little girl that is not necessarily me, and then I can go play this, you know, brassy woman who I feel closer to, and maybe everyone will notice. And so I'm so glad it worked out. But it was huge. I was very scared, actually. It took me like a good month of rehearsals in Pajama Game to even realize where I was and what I was doing, because I started literally, I finished December 4th in Piazza and started December 5th for Pajama Game, and all during rehearsals that whole month of December, I really wasn't even attached or connected at all. I was trying to disconnect from Piazza. So vocally, you know, it was a change, and just character-wise, and where I was in my head. So it was very difficult.
It just seemed like falling off a log. I'm serious.
Oh, thanks.
Wait, I have to go back.
Okay.
And gush some, because I still haven't gotten over your performance in Light in the Piazza.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, I had the great fortune of seeing you 3 times.
Oh,
and
goodness.
Of course, you would just see me backstage, like, kind of drooling after the show, because really, it was, I mean, the show was, you know, something really special that I recommend to anyone who will listen to me. But your performance was really exceptional.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. The whole experience of The Light in the Piazza was so heavy and so deep in me. You know, those of us who were with it for so long and just saw the growth of it, saw what was cut, saw what was tried and failed, and then what made it, and the new things that happened, and those things were just so magical, you know, just to go from it and to work with Vicky Clark, the most talented woman in the world.
Thank you very much.
Yes, that's her name.
my title for her. Yes.
To work with someone like that who has become probably the greatest mentor, aside from my voice teacher, who I knew my whole life. In, you know, she will be, those two women will be it for me. Just learning about how to be a person, how to be a leading lady. And so all of that experience. But the material in it itself was just so fulfilling and was filled with so much just angst and beauty and happiness and sadness. And I'm so heavy from that. I really am. For the rest of my life, I will be.
Yeah, well, us too.
Yeah, well, good. I mean, and I've heard so many people say similar things. It affected them so much, and listening to the CD every day and things like that. And that's something that you only get once in your life. You only get that one. Even if you think you get it another time, you don't. That's it for me, and I will always know that.
Yeah, I'm breathing because the hammering started. Can you hear it?
Mm-hmm.
I know, it's kind of depressing.
Yeah. That's okay.
We're not going to be able to sing through that hammering. I'm going to have to go have a word with someone upstairs.
Okay.
Yes, all of the above. And the CD, and you're singing on it. Flawless.
I'm so proud to be on that CD.
Yeah. If anybody who's listening to this does not own the CD of Light in the Piazza, you are not allowed to listen to this podcast anymore until you get it.
That's right.
Because it's one of those perfect, perfect things. I think we should sing.
Okay.
And I want to talk about this. It's funny. You should talk about Vicky because, you know, these Malay songs were really, a lot of them were written for Vicky. And this one Kelly's going to sing today is a poem called The Spring and the Fall by Edna St. Vincent Millay. And what's notable about this song is that I cannot play it on the piano. And it's going to be a disaster, but don't listen to me. Listen to Kelly, and if you're, you know, a voice student, you get one of those piano majors to play it, and they will play it beautifully.
This is a testament to your musicianship, to be able to write something so intricate that you can't even play it, but it's so gorgeous.
It's not even that intricate, though, Kelly. That's the sad part. It's just... You know, I started, like, right before you came, I started scribbling little fingering notations, and it was just way too late. Way too late for that. All right, so... here is Kelly O'Hara singing The Spring and the Fall.
In the spring of the year, in the spring of the year, I walked the road beside my dear. The trees were black where the bark was wet. I see them yet in the spring of the year. He broke me a bough of the blossoming peach that was out of the way and hard to reach. In the fall of the year, in the fall of the year, I walked the road beside my dear. The rocks went up with a raucous trill, I hear them still. In the fall of the year, he laughed at all and broke my heart in little ways. Year be springing, or year be falling, the birds be calling. There's much that's fine to see and hear in the spring of a year, in the fall.
Oh, Kelly, that is such a treat. My goodness. You are the second person to sing that song. The first being Victoria Clark, the most talented person in the world. But you are another most talented person in the world.
Oh, well, thank you.
I'm not allowed to say
well,
that.
Well, I played her daughter, so I'll be the junior.
The offspring
I'll be
of
junior.
The most talented person in the world. No, really, that is, oh, God. I sort of cried a little bit.
Oh, thank you so much.
Which
well, it's just a joy to sing.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's just so, I think I told you when you asked me to do this that art song and things like that, that's where I come from. And I get so few chances to do things like that. And this is just wonderful. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's my pleasure. And, you know, the way your career is going, it seems like people are going to ask you to, like, do everything at some point.
I hope so.
Because you're getting to, you can see, you've hit Ricky.
Yes.
Ricky Ian Gordon. You've hit Sondheim. You've hit Frank Wildhorn. You've hit Marvin Hamlisch. You've hit Adam Gettle. And Adler and Ross.
That's
I mean,
right.
Like, what else is there? Do you have your eye on anything?
I think there's Jeff Blumenkrantz.
Well, you just hit Jeff Blumenkrantz, too.
No, I don't have my eye on anything, actually. This is one of the first times I feel really open for when this ends. Just really open to see what comes. I'm excited.
Is this a definite ending?
It is for me at this point, yeah. It was originally going till June 11th. It's just extended to the 18th, and we're all staying.
Mm-hmm.
And then Harry was done on the 18th. He
right.
has prior commitments. And I decided, through lots of advice, to actually also take my leave at that point. Due to the press we've gotten as a couple in the show, and it's a great jewel, and I don't... You know, that's the point when you can start making money and renegotiate. And I don't want to do it for the money. I want to do it because it was such a fun and wonderful thing. And hopefully go do something completely different after this. You know, this is my sixth musical in about 4 years, and I'm thinking that that maybe doing a recording, just trying other sides of myself as well. You know.
Yeah. Where's your solo CD?
Well, I'm gonna work on it. I hope.
You are.
I hope.
All right, well, I want to play all my songs for you.
Okay, good, good.
But you did the cast recording of Pajama Game, right?
We just finished that, yeah. We did a double disc recording. The whole one of the first disc is all of the Pajama Game as a whole, and it's just such a great recording. And the second is, it's kind of like Harry Connick on Broadway. That's the way Sony wanted to market it. And so the other one is his redoing of all the Thou Shalt Not songs, as well as a couple of Pajama Game songs in a new kind of sexier, jazzier light.
Oh, does anybody from your show sing on that part of the CD?
Kelly O'Hara.
Does she? What does Kelly O'Hara sing?
Well, I sing about four songs from Thou Shalt Not.
Cool.
Two duets with him, a couple of solos, and then we sing a really sexy version of Steam Heat.
Ooh.
And also the version of There Once Was a Man that we did on the Today Show, which is very pop jazzy.
Oh, really?
Real jazzy.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Oh, it's great. It's really fun.
Can you jazz? Can you swing?
Well, I'm working. Yeah.
Ooh, really? Like swing with the likes of Harry Connick Jr.?
Oh, believe me, I'm kind of out of my league there. But
well, we all are.
But I'm doing my best, you know, trying.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah.
I'm a jazzer.
Oh, you are? I bet.
Love me some jazz.
I know you do. I'm sure. I really do, too. I just want to get better at it, you know, or be more relaxed about it, because that's what it is.
Yeah. Have you ever? Oh, I guess Dracula was pretty pop, wasn't it?
Yeah, your stuff but you know, pop? Anything I did for Frank Wildhorn, both shows, I was always the girl, the ingenue. So I always did kind of the ballady. I never was called upon to like scream any kind of Idina Menzel notes or anything like that.
Can you riff?
No, I absolutely can't.
Can you believe I just put you on the spot with
but
that?
You know
question?
What? I'm so proud to say. Ixnay on the ifre. I can't riff, I can't sing, I can't belt ease, and I can't be a big pop star.
I know, I can't riff either. I can do like one James Taylor riff, and I just try and put that into everything
that
I do.
James Taylor kind of, or if I do try to riff, it always sounds country, because that's how I grew up singing country, so I always sound like either a combination of Cher and and the Judds. So I try to stay away from that kind of stuff. I've learned to actually embrace the fact that that's not what I do, because I love to listen to other people do it, and I just steer clear. I'd rather do the spring and the fall. Any day.
I will. The spring and the fall would like to have you do it.
Okay.
You know what I forgot to say?
What's that?
How amazing you are in the pajama game.
Thank you.
Sounding like a whole other person.
I know. You know, I think that it's crazy because I didn't even... I had great insecurity with it. But I knew I wanted to go in for it because I grew up on Doris Day movies and old music and Ella Fitzgerald and all that stuff. And so I went in, I walked in, and I just imitated her.
Did you?
Since then, I've made it my own. But yeah. But I really did. I just kind of opened my mouth and didn't care what I have belted in the past or not been able to belt and whatever. And this seemed to just be a fit for that part because it's not that high. It's not like I'm, like I said, like Wicked or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It's very old-fashioned belting. And gosh, I just embraced it, and I love it. I feel like a new person. You know?
Yeah.
So I'm having a great time.
You know what's funny is that I was thinking Piazza and Pajama Game are sort of the same period, aren't they?
They're 50s. And you know, Piazza, Sweet Smell, and the Pajama Game were all within a 2-year period set in the, you know, 1952 through 4.
And the funny thing is, and I don't mean to be superficial, but you are a beautiful woman.
Oh, thank you.
And you looked completely different in all three shows.
That's well, you know, I think that Sweet Smell and Clara were similar in that I was kind of protected and young. You know, I had the long blonde hair, but I was so wealthy and so upper class and you know, sleek in Light in the Piazza. Yes. I mean, Sweet Smell. And then in Light in the Piazza, I was so, you know, dressed as a little girl almost, you know. And so to be able to... those were kind of similar in age, and I think that Babe is just a little bit older, but she's got the short, you know, hair and spunky, you know, and she's strong. She's got those straight skirts, and then the others I wore. So it makes you look completely different.
Yeah, you looked so great in those clothes. Who did those clothes?
Marty Paklodinas, ladies
so
and gentlemen.
Woo! Yeah, great clothes, great wig.
And Kathy Zuber did the other two.
Oh, yeah.
Bob Crowley did too. But Kathy Zuber is the goddess too.
Yeah,
so
you
the
and
two
Vicky
of them.
Could not have looked better in Piazza.
Oh, thank you. Well, that was just everything about that. The beauty of that set, the lights, the costumes. That was just like a piece of magic going ring. You know?
Oh yeah, I know. It's like those leaves start blowing, and I'm we're all crying.
You know,
nothing's happened even.
In 3.5 years, I never saw the show. Never, not when I never saw when I was playing Franca, and I never saw it. You know, because you don't do that. You don't just call out or anything, or at least I didn't. And so I went back to see it right away, and I was just blown. I couldn't. And I even kind of, I think I almost lost my mind at one moment when I was watching Vicky do Dividing Day.
Yeah.
Like something happened to my peripheral vision. Like it all went whoomp. Like nothing was on the sides. I could only look straight and saw her in this like this little bubble.
Yeah.
And I thought I was going into a different world or something. It was magical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The second time I saw the show, it was still in previews, and I was sitting in like the third row, right in the center, right in front of you all when you were bowing, and I was crying so hard that I was like embarrassed, but like I had to stand up, so I was like standing and sobbing.
Oh.
It was I was really horrified, but nobody caught my eye, so I was there because I have a lot of friends of that show, and I was like,
oh, I know
they're gonna make fun of me.
It was it's a great family of people. We've all kind of those people that did Piazza, you know, Ted and all those people that did, you know. So interesting is that I had a friend go see it the other day who said that he was so involved in the show that when he went backstage and met Vicky, He said it almost ruined his life because he wasn't prepared to meet Vicky. He thought, walking backstage, he thought he was going to meet Margaret. He wanted to meet her and shake her hand. And when he realized she didn't exist, he like broke down. He said, and he goes, "I know that's crazy, but that's how invested I was in the show."
And she gives such a complete portrayal that you can't imagine that she could be any other way.
Exactly, and she is so different.
She's different.
Yeah, yeah, she's versatile.
As are you.
Well, thank you.
Hey, thank you again for coming. This is such a huge treat for me.
Well, it's been a huge treat for me, too, so thank you so much.
Oh, my goodness. And thank you all for listening.
Thank you, podcast listeners.
This is Jeff and Kelly saying goodbye.
Goodbye.